right, we are good to go. So do me a favor, my man. Introduce yourself. Let folks know who you are, what you do, stuff like that.
Okay, my name is Be Honest. I'm one third of the host of the No Nonsense Show. We're available on iTunes, Stitcher, all the regular spots that you can get us at. Basically, man, we look at the black experience and we try to make some light out of it. When it's serious, we talk about the serious things. We just try to have fun and make sure people are, you know, enlightened a little bit at the same time. As far as me in particular, I was a music guy for about 15 years, you know, from the creative side to the business side with management, doing label work and stuff. And I kind of just got, you know, I turned kind of sour to the music industry. It wasn't fulfilling me anymore. And I just wanted another outlet that would allow me to you know, just still reach people in a creative way. So that's kind of how I found my way to podcasting. I'm working on doing a music show actually on podcasting, and we have a sports show already as well as the No Nonsense Show. So I'm just kind of trying to find a roundabout way of doing the same thing as far as creativity, but now on the podcast field.
All right, good deal. So what we're going to do right now is switch things up. This is something I've never done before on my podcast. And I figured since we're both podcast hosts and we're used to talking to folks and interviewing or however you want to phrase it, I think we'll be both good at this particular game. So what we're going to do is play a game called The Host Off, where you're a guest on my show, I'm a guest on your show, it's all hypothetical, and we're going to ask each other's questions. I'm going to ask you a question, you're going to answer it, then you're going to toss a question my way, we just go back and forth until we get tired of that shit. Is that cool?
All right.
All right, so let me get it started. Question number one for you. Let's say you were walking down the street in a rough neighborhood, right? And you happen to look down and you see a money clip full of money. But also at the same time, there's like a bunch of niggas posted up close to that money. But obviously they don't see that shit, but you do. What would you do? Would you walk over, pick up the money with the possibility of getting your ass robbed? Because these niggas going to see you pick up that money. Or would you keep on walking and just spare your ass?
Oh man, that's a good question. So, like, did we see how much money is in the money clip? It's just, you can say it's full of money, or do we know?
Oh,
like,
what's hundreds. The... Yeah, you can see hundreds rolled up in the money clip. I mean, you know, at least you got a few hundreds from what you can see, your observation. You haven't walked up to it yet, but just in passing, you can see it's like at least a few hundreds.
All right. So the good guy in me wants me to say, hey guys, look, there's some money down there. Is that one of you guys? That's what the good guy wants me to say. The other guy in me wants me to kind of walk up over there, you know, just on my cell phone, tapping on some stuff, acting, you know, I'm on Facebook or whatever, looking at my phone, and just put my foot on top of the money and just see if anybody says anything. You know, as if I didn't know I put my foot down on the money. And then I just kind of, you know, slide to the left, slide to the left, until I get a pretty good distance away, you know, still on my phone, still not paying attention, and, you know, look back over my shoulder to see if anybody's noticing that, and then you know, I got a little money in my pocket then.
Okay, so yeah, you just take a chance and be like, okay, fuck it, I see some free money, I'm going after it.
Like I say, there's always that duality in me. The one of them that wants to give whoever's money it is back to them, and the other's like, man, you know what? I could probably use that for such and such or whatever, so you know.
Okay, I got you. All right, your turn.
All right, so a thing we do on our show, Mr. Player Hater, is we like to know where somebody's mind is at from a philosophy standpoint. So what we do sometimes, we play a game called Would You Rather. So would you rather watch your parents have sex every day for the rest of your life or join in once to stop?
Oh, no, I ain't going to join into with my parents. Fuck it, I'll just have to listen to either hit them. I have to watch them fuck every day. I can't join in with my parents fucking now.
So you're going to watch them get whatever, like they're real freaking, they're like a kinky couple, man. They do a lot of things. You'd rather just watch that every day the rest of your life?
Well, I mean, I have options with that. I don't have to. I'm a grown-ass man. You're talking about me as a grown-up, right? Or am I a little boy in this scenario?
No, this is grown up. You're a grown up dude.
Oh, no, I really don't have to be there. No, I mean, I have the option of leaving always. If my parents start fucking, we know when people about to start fucking. As soon as I see that these motherfuckers about to start, I'm out of there. No, so I mean, I at least have the option of leaving. Yeah, I ain't joining in and Nah, that's just, nah. I can't join it with my parents. Fuck it. I don't even want to envision anything like that. So, nah, I just have to. Nah. I mean, so to answer your question, so I wouldn't avoid it, then nah, I just have to watch them fuck, since I was given just those boxes. The option that even wasn't a part of that. So, yeah, I just have to watch them fuck every day and deal with it.
Yeah, that's how I feel too, man. I couldn't join in on that one.
All right, so let me ask you something. All right, so here's my question for you. You got a boy with a badass girl, and you want to fuck your boy's girl. Two-part question. Would you fuck one of your boy's girls? And if you could, like, which one of your boy's girls would you fuck?
You know what, man? I'm real big on loyalty when it comes to homeboys. So I wouldn't be able, this is my character, I wouldn't be able to do that. Like, that's an impossibility. I can't even fathom past the question, honestly, man. And I hate not being game and not giving a good answer. But literally, though, that's like integrity is like one of the things that when it comes to homeboys and like relationships that I build, that's just something that I can't even do.
I guess that's one reason why I don't have any best friends. But anyway, your turn, dude.
Yeah, I feel that, man. I feel that. All right, so do you feel like there's such a thing as bad pussy? Do you feel like there's like a boring pussy, bad pussy? Or do you feel like it's something that you have to do to bring that good pussy out of a woman?
Oh, no, there's definitely such a thing as bad pussy, and I've talked on that topic a few times at least, but I'm sure more than a few, a bunch of times. Yeah, there is bad pussy. I can't do anything to make some bad pussy good. That pussy has to be good from the beginning. No, you can't improve on bad pussy. The only thing bad pussy can ever do for me is go the fuck away, because it's always going to be bad.
How do you judge, like, from the first few moments, how do you judge if it's going to be good or not?
There's no problem, because I believe in compatible pussy. Incompatible pussy is not a friend of mine. Compatible pussy, I love that shit, and I can fuck that for a really long time, years and months. I know because, number one, it depends on the individual. If she just doesn't have it, like some women are just really naturally good at certain things, but if this particular, I ain't about coaching when it comes to fucking, first of all. So yeah, if she can't just naturally move and make that shit nice, that's number one, then no, I'm done with it. And some pussy's just not right. Shit can be too dry, too wet, too big, just not feeling right around my dick, whatever it is. This is like that kind of pussy right there. I'll give it one or two chances, because maybe the first time she was a little nervous, so it was a little dry or whatever, I'll try it again. But if it's the same way after the second time, then no, that's what I classify as bad pussy, and I can't fuck with it no more.
Alright, so, how do you feel about, I'm not really sure what your philosophy is on money. So do you feel like it's better to be fly for the day, make yourself look tight, have the things around you look real nice? Or are you the kind of person that would rather put something aside and make tomorrow a better day?
Yeah, I'm all about me. I'm a selfish motherfucker. So yeah, I'm more about looking toward the future as far as money goes. I'm not a money hungry dude at all. But if I, you know, if it came to a money type thing, then yeah, I'm putting that shit aside, because I'm going to need it for something substantial that means something other than dressing fly one day. Yeah, dressing fly, looking fly, trying to impress other people is not me at all. So yeah, that money's going to be put aside for when I really need it. Yeah, what about you? You all about, what would you do in a situation like that? You want to put it aside? You want to look fly? You want to treat your boys to a big night out? Shit like that or what?
Man, you know, I got kids. I am more along the lines of I don't gotta be fly. To me, as long as I look clean and put together, I'm good with that. I can't see myself spending $400 on a pair of jeans and $250 on some Jordan. That's really just never really been my thing. Anyway, I'm real, you know, just real. I don't mind as long as I'm clean. If it's put together and looks good together, I'm good. It don't gotta be really expensive stuff. I would rather put it to the side and, you know, handle the stuff that I have to handle now, so I'm not living uncomfortably, but at the same time, have something that's ready for tomorrow as well. So if I decide I don't want to ever work again, I can, you know, rest on that.
All right, got you. All right, so you said you got kids. Let me ask you this. If one day one of your kids came home and said, "Daddy, I'm gay," what would your reaction be?
Man, you know, this is actually something we've been talking about a lot on the show. So there, again, I have the duality in me. One side of me is like, you know what? I love my kids no matter what. I want them to be happy, and if being gay is what makes them happy, then, you know, I will do whatever I have to do to accept them fully. But at the same time, and especially when it comes to our young men, I feel like there is a situation that's happening in our culture right now where there's a lot of blending of ideas, and there's a lot of uproar about gay rights and things like that. And I think sometimes there's a confusing picture that's painted to the kids, and it doesn't allow them to make necessarily fully conscious decisions. It's almost like it's the next trend sometimes. And, you know, I know there's probably a lot of gay activists that are saying, no, it's not a choice, it's from birth. But I don't think that every single person that's gay right now had the gene or whatever. I think some of them are just seeing this happen in front of their faces, and it's becoming the new norm, so they're just testing it out because maybe a girl broke their heart, or maybe girls don't look at them like they look at the other guys because, you know, they're not as cute. So I don't know. But I think that there's two sides to this, and I'm still conflicted in it as well. Not to mention, you know, there's always the talk about with the Bible and, you know, the Christian saying that it's wrong in the eyes of God and stuff like that. But, I mean, you know, I don't think that has anything to do with us. You don't get to choose what's right in the eyes of God. I think that the true answer to that is if it was necessarily right or wrong, regardless, they can't have babies. So something isn't working in that whole thing. Because of that, I'm very conflicted on this. But at the end of the day, because they are my kids, regardless of what my personal feelings are about, you know, whether it's right or wrong, or do I think that this doing it for a trend reason or not, regardless of that, because they are my kids, I'm going to love them first and accept it. And then I'll just, you know, try to discuss with them and see, you know, what it is that's going on. And if it's possibly something like a trend, then maybe we can talk through that. And if it's really a decision, then I have to accept. I know that was a long answer, but...
No, I appreciate that. Can I tag on a second part to that question?
Absolutely.
And what I want to do is this, because you asked me about me and my parents and watching them have sex. Okay, let's say you had a gay child, daughter or son. Would you rather, based on your scenario, would you rather watch them have sex every day or join in and hoping that it would make it stop?
I think I would rather watch them have sex every day. And here's why. You know, I think as a human, you get used to whatever is going on. So it's only so many times I can be shocked and be disgusted. You know, after a while, I just get used to that, and it will know, like, whatever happened, that happened a year ago. You know, oh, he sucked his dick. Oh, I saw that shit a year ago. Oh, he did it. It wasn't his butt. Oh, man, that happened a year ago. Like, I'm already used to that now. So it's almost like, you know, oh, I got to do my daily chore at this point. So I'm never joining into that. That's not going to happen. I'm like, you, that's never going to happen. Whatever the new norm has to be, the new norm will be me just having to watch that, and I'll just have to get used to it.
I got you. That's all right.
All right, so in relationships, I think that there's the idea that, you know, there's social order, man, woman, children, in a relationship or whatever. But even when you're dating as a single person, there still is the idea that the man is usually in charge of the relationship. I think that's just culturally how we look at it. So how do you feel, or what do you consider the difference between being in control and being controlled? Where do you stand on that?
Being in control, and I'm not in agreement with either one of those, to be totally honest with you. I don't know how strange that makes me sound, but I know somebody has to take somewhat of a, however moderate to whatever degree, someone has to take initiative and control. I understand that, but I believe in sharing that as much as possible. I don't know, I'm just not a controlling dude, and I definitely don't feel the need to always be in control, because I'm fucking with a chick now who believes that the man is supposed to be in control. And that's like a discussion that she and I are having, like, now. Not at the moment, but like now in our relationship. Because, and right, this is it. And with me, I'm like, this may be a determining factor if I'm going to stop fucking with her. Because to me, I view it as a deficiency on either part. It's like she has some sort of warped view of relationships, or her own view of relationships that I don't agree with. that's going to cause problems with us, because she's looking at me like I need to take control. And it's something as minor as who texts who first in the morning type shit. We had this conversation this morning. It's like, I asked her, yo, are you waiting for me? Really, it starts there, brother. I'm like, are you waiting for me to say good morning to you before you say good morning to me? And then she replied, well, yeah. And then, I mean, my question was a lot deeper than that. But then she was like, yeah, I don't use it as a gauge, as a way to gauge our relationship, but it's just nice to know that you are taking the lead or some bullshit like that. I'm like, oh man, see, this is going to be a problem, because she's into this whole man take the lead mindset that I don't agree with. And again, like I said, it's a determining factor of whether or not we are going to keep moving forward, because that's just not something I believe in. All right, Straight, so let's see what I got for you. All right, I'm going to get you, you know, like, what annoys you? Just in general. It can be, like, whatever. I have many things that annoy me, but, like, what generally annoys you?
Man, you know, I'm a real impatient person, so my biggest pet peeve is having to wait on people. I as you see, we got this call set right on time, because I think people's time is the most important commodity they have. You can't get somebody back time, so I don't like wasting people's time. And because of that, the biggest pet peeve I have is having to wait. Like, for instance, me and my wife, if we're going somewhere and I'm dressed, I don't like sitting downstairs for 30 minutes waiting. Or, you know, whatever. I just, waiting is the absolute most annoying thing ever to me. And it ends relationships to me with people, friends or whatever, having to wait. That's my biggest annoying thing.
Now, would you let them know that it bothers you before you stop fucking with them? Or would you just stop fucking with them?
Oh, no. I'm not that kind of person. I believe also that communication is like the most important tool that we have as people. We have to be able to comprehend, and we have to be able to articulate so that the person we're talking to can comprehend. I totally believe that. So I would definitely let them know. It wouldn't be like the first time it happened, it's done. It's more along the lines of, you know, hey, you know, man, I was here. At first I'd do it passive aggressively just to make sure, you know, I don't know what kind of person they are. So, like, yo, man, I was going here for a while or something like that. But then I would move into, hey, you're going to have to tighten this up. Like, if we were supposed to meet at 3, you know, it's 4 o'clock. And then I'd go and say, hey, man, you need to be here on time. And at that point, it's done. So, I mean, I wouldn't just, you know, cold turkey on them. But, you know, I just, to me, that's just the most important thing. Like, you cannot give me back my time, so don't waste. What about you? How do you feel about that? What's your most annoying thing? Or how do you feel about the wasting time?
Yeah, I'm very big on that as well. And I was thinking about that, ironically enough, before we started talking today, because I was thinking about conversations that I've had recently with people who called right on time. And I'm the same way. I'm always on time because I respect my time and my courtesy and people's time and courtesy. Because, you know, if we both agree to do something, whether it be me calling you or you calling me, it's like, at least be on time. Well, if you're going to be a little late, give me the courtesy of saying, yo, I'm going to be a little off today. It'll be this time when I contact you. Something like that. I think I'm very respectful of people in general, but definitely respectful of people's time. And, yeah, I'm big on that as well. And I probably would handle it somewhat the same way as you. I let it slide like the first time. I may even do some passive-aggressive type shit like you said. It depends on the individual, really. And then, yeah, I'd be like, yo, communication is important. I agree with that sometimes. But depending on the relationship, I've broken up with chicks and just there was no explanation needed. Just like, yo, I don't like the way she is. I ain't gonna fuck with her no more. So an explanation or conversation isn't always necessary, in my opinion. It depends on the depth of the relationship or friendship. If it's just somebody I was starting to get to know, like in a dating scenario, then no. I mean, I doubt if I'm going to call up or text and say, yo, this is over. She'll know it's over when she don't hear from you no more. So it really depends on the individual. I may say, yo, my man, I can't fuck with you no more. Or I may just be like, you know what, to myself, I can't fuck with that nigga no more.
I got a question for you, Dad. Is that cool?
Yeah, good.
All right, so the first time I saw your podcast, I think that it was one of the ones where you were critiquing other podcasts. The very first thing that came to my mind was, wow, this nigga is arrogant, right? I was like, this guy is arrogant. He's in the same field as these other guys, but he's going to critique them. And you know, the first thing that came to my question was, what made you decide to start, you know, to dig into the jugular like that? What made you have that feeling? I mean, now I don't think he's arrogant. I listen to the show. I listen to a lot of the shows, so I know exactly where it's coming from. But what was the initial thing that made you say, you know what, I need to start critiquing these other shows? And what was the mindset that went into that?
Yo, that is an interesting question, because I'm going to answer your question. But I actually decided to stop doing the podcast critic for a few different reasons. One reason was because I found it counterproductive to the way I truly feel about podcasting. Because, again, if it's the first time listener and they're hearing me shitting on other people's craft, then yeah. It's like, man, they'll have the attitude like you. Who the fuck are you to say that these people's shit suck? I mean, first of all, I'm the player hater. That's to answer your number one question for anyone who may have that question, who I am. But yeah, I actually thought about that shit and decided to consciously stop doing it, because it was counterproductive. I'm a podcast advocate, but listening to the podcast critic, you could never realize that shit. So I said, you know what? The podcast critic within itself, the way I'm doing it, is not right. Maybe I'll come back later and do the podcast critic in a different way. Maybe invite people on. We can have a constructive conversation about, you know, what I didn't like about this shit. But I mean, the way I went about it initially, I'll be the first one to say, yo, that shit I shouldn't have done. Even though I enjoyed the hell out of it, don't get me wrong, I loved the fuck out of it.
It was hilarious.
It was. I thoroughly enjoyed that shit, but I was really hurting people's feelings. So I was like, yo, it's counterproductive, man. I can't do it, because these are people, fellow podcasters, many of whom listeners listen to theirs and mine, and I'm shitting on this shit. That's not good. But that wasn't my main intent to shit on it, though. My main intent was to be like, yo, I listen to your shit. It's okay, but this is what you really need to work on. Plus, I toss in some funny shit along the way. So that's really the main reason of the podcast critic. Not to shit on people's craft, because I don't believe in shit on people's hard work and craft. They take a lot of pride in that shit. It's like I take a lot of pride in my shit. It was mainly done just as a way for me to say, I listen to your shit. I ain't all that impressed. You may need to work on this type shit. And in the meantime, I'm going to talk about how, you know, some funny type shit about you in the meantime. So yeah, that's mainly what that was about.
Well, let me give you some feedback then. So what's funny about that is that, kind of like when I was starting the music industry, I can't listen to music the same way anymore. Now when I listen to music, I'm listening to the way it was mixed. I'm listening to what the songwriter was thinking. I'm hearing all the stuff that most people don't pay attention to. On the same token, after hearing your podcast critic episodes, now when I listen to podcasts, I do the exact same thing to that though. And I constantly find myself hyper-critiquing their stuff just based off the idea that there's somebody out there, like this Mr. Player Hater, who has an idea about how bad this sucks and why it sucks. So if that's any feedback, I don't know if that's positive or negative feedback, I'm not really sure, but I tell you that it did heighten my senses to not only my own show being good in the first 2 minutes and the last 2 minutes, but also when I'm listening to new shows or other shows, I'm listening to it with a different ear. So I don't know if that helps you, what that feedback does for you, but just to let you know that it did resound with me.
Oh, I really appreciate that, because, I mean, that's one thing, even before the podcast critic episodes came along, segments came along, yeah, I used to talk about that. Make your shit hot from the beginning. What the fuck are you waiting for? People, when they tune into your show for the first time, they judge it based on the initial whatever they're hearing. Your voice, the music, the content, they're basing their opinion on what you're giving them initially. They ain't going to hang around 15, 20 minutes into your shit if the first 15 to 20 minutes was corny. So give them something that's going to make them want to listen throughout your whole shit. Don't give them 15 minutes of good shit and then 35 minutes worth of garbage. Just cut the garbage out and give them 15 minutes worth of good shit.
Right, and that's regardless who your target audience is, right? That's, it doesn't matter. Your show may be about 50-year-old women who are divorced and now are trying to find a new hobby. If that's your show, fine, but it doesn't have to be boring. You need to find a way to attack them immediately so those 50-year-old women are excited as soon as they start listening to your show. So I totally agree with that.
Yeah, and that's really the main reason I did the podcast critic, because I was like, okay, I like to consider myself an unintentional funny type of motherfucker. I can just say some silly shit that's funny to me. So I said, yeah, let me critique some podcasts, and in the meantime, you know, just make fun of these motherfuckers in a not-so-mean type of way. So that's really what I'm doing. I'm critiquing people. I mean, because, you know, I hate long podcasts, number one, and there's so many of them, and I've spoken to people. Tim Black, Tim the bartender, came to this conclusion just recently. I don't know if from listening to my shit or what, but he was like, yo, you know what, Player Hater? I don't need to do an hour-long podcast. He said, I got caught up in that trap thinking that I needed to do an hour, but I really don't need to do an hour. If I only got 15 minutes or 20 minutes worth of shit to say this week, my podcast is only going to be 15 or 20 minutes. And I'm like, Tim, what took you so long? Basically, people get caught up in this podcast trap. A podcast can be whatever right. you want it to be. It doesn't have to be about any particular topic. It doesn't have to be any particular list. It can be as long or as short as you want it to be. If people tune into your shit, and like I said again, you give them 15 to 20 minutes worth of good stuff, and your shit is like an hour and 30 minutes, that's like 60 or 70 minutes worth of shit that ain't worth a damn.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think the way that I approached the idea was, how long is the normal commute? The normal commute is about, I would say, about 45 minutes to an hour. So that's how I kind of go into my show. But that's kind of the reason why my show ends up being an hour. Now that we're talking about this, I'm definitely going to investigate doing a shorter show if the show calls for it. But my idea was, people where are we listening to the podcast? In the gym, on the way to work, on the way home from work, sometimes sitting at your desk with headphones. So that's my idea of doing about an hour, because that's about the normal commute. So one way to work, I'm going to take care of you all the way to work or all the way home. But that is a very good point you brought up. You know, this market is whatever you want it to be. So it doesn't have to necessarily be an hour, especially if you run out of shit to talk about and you just fluff in the air and just rambling.
Yeah, and see, we have different podcasts too, because I'm my solo host. And my shit is different every week. I do, like, conversations with random people, like I'm doing with you right now. I do the Hater Tour while calling the BTR. And this conversation alone, our conversation right now is going to go close to an hour. But I refuse to air the whole hour-long conversation. I have to break it up into segments right. because I know how I am as a listener. I don't want to listen to an hour-long... I don't care how great the conversation is. I don't want to listen to an hour-long conversation about whatever. And this is a good conversation, by the way, and I appreciate you calling in today. But it's just the way I am. I structure my shit based on, if I were a listener, what would I want to hear? That's the way I am. So
right.
your show is different because it's three dudes sharing a mic. So it's easy to go an hour with somebody saying something to fill it in some sort of space. So that's different because three
right.
dudes definitely eat up an hour's worth of shit. But me alone, I'm not a long talker. I'm not. In conversations, I'm okay. But when it comes to this me busting open a mic and filling up time, no, I'm a good 15, 20 minute, 30 minute type of dude by myself.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I think your formula is perfect, man. I really enjoy listening to your show, so it works out.